I trust that as we sing those words, that we would truly mean them, that we would want the Lord by His Spirit to speak through His Word, that we would have listening ears, and that we would be ready to fully obey. Mark chapter 7, as we continue in our series in Mark's Gospel, we come to an interesting event that occurs as Jesus leaves His Galilean ministry, and as He goes to an area just about 20 miles away in the region, we're told here, of Tyre and Sidon. So hear now the Word of God. "And from there He arose and went away to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And He entered a house and did not want anyone to know. Yet He could not be hidden. But immediately a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit heard of Him and came and fell down at His feet. Now the woman was a Gentile, a Syrophoenician by birth, and she begged Him to cast the demon out of her daughter. And He said to her, 'Let the children be fed first, for it is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs.' But she answered Him, 'Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs.' And He said to her, 'For this statement you may go your way. The demon has left your daughter.' And she went home and found the child lying in bed and the demon gone." So far in God's Word, let us pray. O gracious Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You that You speak to us through Your Word and by the work of Your Spirit opening our eyes to see. So be pleased, O Lord, to help us this day. Help our understanding and help us in seeking to live by Your Word for Christ's sake. Amen. A number of years ago, shortly after we moved into the house that we are now living in, a family who are friends of ours came over and gave a gift. Perhaps you've seen it. It hangs on the wall in our family room. It is really just a board that has been painted with three words on it: faith, friends, and family. I'm sure you've seen that. Perhaps if you've gone into stores, you've seen that word faith appear in many different places. Sometimes there's really no context. We know the context of those who gave it to us. It was a Christian family, and so we know what they meant by faith. But you hear that word faith, and you see that word faith appear in many places, and it can mean many things to many people in the world around us. No doubt you've heard the secular world saying things like, "You just have to have faith," which begs the question, faith in what? Sometimes they want you to have faith in yourself. I'm not sure that that's a worthwhile piece of advice, having faith in ourselves, especially in times of difficulty. You may hear it referred to in relationship to other religions. People might ask you, "Are you a person of faith?" And they don't necessarily mean the Christian faith. They might mean of any faith. Well, this morning we want to look at this Gentile woman's faith. And as we do so, it is particular to our understanding that this faith with which Jesus is pleased and which He commends as great faith is the kind of faith that we want to exhibit in our own lives. It is true saving faith that Jesus commends. Not just any faith, but true saving faith. And so we want to think about faith this morning. Now, true saving faith has three things that are true of it. There is a content to true saving faith. There is an object, and the object of true saving faith is Christ. In fact, if you looked at the account, the parallel account in Matthew's gospel, as the woman comes to Jesus, she calls him, "O Lord, Son of David." So she understands something about this one to whom she comes. There is an object to the faith. There is a content. But there's also a character to faith. And that's really what we want to focus on this morning. But there is a character to faith. It's not just knowing some facts that are true, but it's believing those facts. And then there's a conviction that comes along as well, as we see this woman who truly trusts in and rests upon Christ. But I want to hone in just for this morning on the character of this woman's faith. Who is she? Well, we're told here that she is a Greek-speaking person from Syrophoenicia. Matthew calls her a Canaanite, and perhaps you will remember that the Canaanites were the people that the Israelites tried to exterminate upon entrance into the land of Canaan, the promised land. No doubt she appeared to all of those who were religious leaders to be unclean, and because she was a Gentile and a woman, she would have been off bounds for any of the men to speak to her. They weren't to associate with the Gentiles, let alone with women. One commentator says this, that during this time, the establishment of the religious leaders would have been so scandalized by a rabbi having conversation with such a person that there was at this time a sect called the Bruised and Bleeding Pharisees. And apparently the Bruised and Bleeding Pharisees were named that because every time they saw a woman, they covered their eyes and they bumped into whatever happened to be around them. They wouldn't talk to such a woman. They would cover their eyes, and as a result, they had bruises which they thought were rather pious and exalted because of their ethics. They'd cover their eyes and make sure that in no way did they associate with such a one who was unclean. But as we come to this text, we see that Jesus, our compassionate Savior, speaks to this Gentile woman who comes to him in a place that appears to be a private dwelling. We're not told why Jesus wanted to get away from everyone, but we are told here that he entered a house in verse 24 and did not want anyone to know. Now, you followed Mark's gospel enough to know that no matter where Jesus tries to escape, they find him. And that was true here as well. He had tried to be incognito. He had gone into this house. He wanted to be unknown in that community. Perhaps it was because his time was drawing near. Perhaps it was because that he needed to teach his disciples or he needed to rest a bit. But whatever the reality, this woman finds him, and we see in Mark's wonderful way of stating it in verse 25, immediately a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell down at his feet. Immediately. Well, what is the nature of this woman's faith? She's not named for us, but she's one of but a few in all of the New Testament that are acclaimed for being a person of faith. And the first thing that I want you to see is that her faith is submissive. That is, she exhibits great humility as she comes to Jesus. It says here that she came to him and she fell down at his feet. And as I said in Matthew's gospel, she says, O Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. She bowed down at his feet and she begged. Well, what a sign of submissiveness, of sincerity, as she sought the one that she believed could come to her aid. Her child was in a horrible situation, possessed by a demon, and she had perhaps sought every possible resolution, but she had heard of Jesus, and she came and she bowed herself to him and she begged of him, pleading for him to heal her daughter. Her humility is not only seen in her prostrating herself at Jesus' feet, but also in the way in which she responds to Jesus' rather strange remark to her. And we'll look at that remark in a minute. But she knows that Jesus is calling her a dog. Now, not the wild and the vicious dogs, but he is referring to her as a dog, as a family pet. He uses a common household illustration as he's making his point. But she doesn't let that stop her. She doesn't, in pride, react to what Jesus says about her being a dog. What a contrast we have here in Mark's gospel between what occurs just before verse 24 and what begins to occur at verse 24. Remember, before 24, we had the Pharisees who are all up in arms about Jesus' disciples not fulfilling the tradition of the fathers, not fulfilling the tradition of washing, ceremonial washing, taking pride in their high position. The blind guides of Israel taking great pride in their religiosity. But here, we have a Gentile woman who, with no pretense, shows her great need and shows that she trusts that Jesus is the one who can help her. Help her in her need, depending upon him. Oh, friends, how important humility is. We read from Psalm 51, just a little earlier, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. And we know that Scripture in the Proverbs and elsewhere speaks out against pride. God stands opposed to pride. In Proverbs 16:18, what comes before the destruction? Pride. And in Proverbs 29, one's pride will bring him low, but he who is lowly in spirit will obtain honor. What pleases Christ is a faith which is full of humility. And this Gentile woman, who though she remains unnamed, is marked here as one who was humble of spirit, submitting herself to Christ, prostrate at his feet. But not only was her faith submissive, it was also sincere. She was determined that Jesus was going to hear her. The translation that we use does not do it as great a favor as the New American Standard, which says this: she kept asking. Our translation said she was begging, but she kept asking. The tense of the verb there is that she did not stop. There she was at the feet of Jesus, and she was pleading and she was begging Jesus to come to her aid and to the aid of her daughter. There can be no doubt that she understood how great the need was. But her pleading also helps us to see the great faith that she had in Jesus, who was able to heal her daughter from demonic possession. Jesus responded. Matthew's gospel said that he was silent for a while, and the disciples wanted to send her away. That was their common way to do things. Just send her away. She's bothering us. But Jesus was silent for a time, but here in Mark's gospel, we see what he says to her. He speaks to her about children being fed first. Verse 27, "Let the children be fed first, for it is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." I might say, wow, that's a strange way to respond to her desperate need. And yet Jesus here is testing the character of her faith. He's testing the sincerity of her faith. He is telling her that the great blessing of the gospel must first go to the house of Israel and to the Gentiles. But then, after that, it would go, as it were, to the dogs. At first glance, it looks like a horrible thing to say as he's calling the Gentiles dogs. And yet, she understands rightly that he is not saying that they are not part of the household. The Jews would receive the gospel first, but even the little dogs, even they are part of the household, and they will be fed. And so while she's being tested in her faith, nonetheless, Jesus says to her that first the children must be fed. And so she persists. She doesn't step back in pride. She persists. Even the dogs receive the crumbs that fall on the floor. And if you have a dog, you know that they do a great job with that, don't they? What a blessed reaction to Jesus. Martin Luther says that she catches Jesus in his own words. And friends, that's exactly what he desired. Here was a true faith, a faith that was being tested, but it was a true faith that she was willing to receive even the crumbs at Jesus' feet, knowing that such crumbs were far superior to the captivity of the enemy that her daughter was enduring. She persisted. She was determined. She was not ready to give up. She kept on asking. Now let me ask you, you who come in faith to Christ, do you persevere in prayer? Or do you quickly give up and forget? We're told in Hebrews chapter 11, without faith it is impossible to please God. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. I love the King James there, those who diligently seek him. He rewards those who diligently seek him. True faith, faith that is rewarded, is a faith that seeks and indeed finds. Isn't that what our Lord said? Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened. James tells us the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective and avails much. Persist, persevere, pray on, and don't stop until the Lord hears you and answers you. He alone is able to meet all of our needs according to his riches. He alone is able to thwart the arrows of the enemy. He alone has the power to save to the uttermost those who come to Him in faith. Do not stop, but persevere in prayer. Her faith was a sincere faith, a submissive faith, but it was also a simple faith. She took Jesus at His word. It wasn't simplistic, but it was simple. If she was a dog, she thought, then I'm a dog. But she was a dog who wanted just a few crumbs. That would be sufficient. She trusted that He who had done so many miracles among the Jews could come to her assistance as well. She trusted that He was able to do what she so desperately needed. She trusted in Christ to free her daughter from the destructive power of the enemy. And she had heard, and now she would be witness to the saving power of Christ. Notice what great testimony is born here. He said to her, verse 29, "For this statement, you may go your way. The demon has left your daughter." And she went home, and what did she find? The child lying in the bed and the demon gone. Can we believe Jesus for any less? We have greater advantages than this woman had. We know that Christ, who is crucified, has also risen and ascended and is seated at the right hand. We have His word and the testimony of His church throughout the ages. And do we doubt His ability to save to the uttermost? He alone is able to meet your needs. He alone is able to restore your soul. Oh, how vital that we humble ourselves before Him, that we persist and plead for His grace, and that with simple trust we lean upon Him, knowing that He who promised is faithful. He will not allow those who come to Him with a sincere, submissive, and simple faith to be ashamed. Oh, there may be great mysteries at times. There may be things we don't understand. But He will never let us down. He promises His disciples, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." Oh, how we need to trust in Christ. Not just to trust in Him who is the one who died and rose, not just for salvation, but day by day with humility and with perseverance and with trust, the one who is able to save us to the uttermost, taking all of our needs to the feet of the one who is able to answer us according to His will and His purposes. Let us pray. Oh, gracious God, we pray that You would enable us to come to the feet of Jesus. That we would be stripped of all pride and clothed with humility. That we would be a people, O Lord, who with sincerity and persistence seek after Christ, and that we would do so with trusting hearts. For we ask these things in His name. Amen.